This is Jim Speary. It's March 18th, 2012, Forward Operating Base, Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan. I'm with a gentleman who I've flown a lot of missions with, and we'll let you tell him who he is here. Sir, what's your name?
Andrew Krause.
And it's Captain, is that correct?
That's correct.
And Andrew, where do you hail from? You're out here not with the New Mexico guys. Where do you come from?
I'm active duty from Fort Lewis, Washington. I'm stationed there. I work at Madigan Army Medical Center, ICU nurse.
And out here you're deployed as a flight nurse, is that correct?
That is correct. I'm my official title is an in-route critical care nurse. I'm specifically here to transport the critically injured from the Role 2, which is the Navy STP, to the Role 3 at Bastion. Those patients typically have advanced equipment that they fly with, ventilators, IV pumps, some other specialized equipment, and I'm specifically there to monitor that and their status.
Andrew, before we go further, I want to ask, how old are you?
I am 44.
Now, as they say the phrase, this isn't your first rodeo. I know from previous conversation with you, you were in Iraq for a couple of tours. Tell me briefly a little bit about that time.
First time I deployed was 05-06 to Iraq, as you said, Baghdad. I was at Ibn Sina Hospital. I worked in the ICU there. That was a very busy time there during the surge. We saw quite a bit of trauma there at that time. My second deployment to Iraq was in 08-09, and I was again in Baghdad, but not at Ibn Sina. I was at a Role 2, the Army calls them Level 2, battalion aid station type environment. And I was with First ID.
So you've been pretty involved in the medical aspect of things throughout your whole Army career. In the very beginning, what you came into the military, what did you come in as?
I came in as a biomedical equipment repairer. It's a medical maintenance technician.
So here we are 16 years later, am I correct? You've been in 16?
Yes, that's correct.
Here we are 16 years later. You're at the Helmand Province with Dustoff. Talk to me a little bit about what it's like to do missions with these Dustoff guys, and compared to some of the rest of your career, what's this particular mission like to you as a person?
Well, this is kind of the highlight of my career so far in many ways. When I came here, there was 11 of us en route critical care nurses that came together at the same time, and
for the whole country.
That's correct. Some of us went to Air Force assets, some of us went to Army active duty units, and some went to National Guard units. I was one that came out to the National Guard unit, and I didn't really, people have asked me, how did you think that was going to go working with the National Guard, and I really didn't have any feeling on it one way or the other. I just thought I'd get out here and do the best I could, and these guys are phenomenal. I mean, most of the medics have quite a bit of civilian experience. As you know, they work in their field craft as a civilian and bring that experience to the table when they deploy. So for medics, Army medics, they have wealth of experience, probably more than your typical active duty medics do. And as far as personalities, I mean, this is a really good group of guys and gals. They take care of each other really well. They get the job done, and just really good people all around.
Let's talk about that part, getting the job done. I had the opportunity yesterday, for example, to watch you and Sergeant Menzi from Albuquerque just pretty much work as one person on the patient. It seems to be something that is, there's no rank or anything like that. You guys just take care of some of the worst looking people I've ever seen with injury wise, yet at the end of the day you just pass through it all. How do you reconcile all that at the end of the day? How do you go on from day to day doing the things you're doing in this mission here?
Well, for me personally, I just keep it in perspective. I know what we're here to do is to get these soldiers off the battlefield, get them to the next level of care, the best way that we can, as quickly as we can, provide the medical care that we have capabilities to do, and that's the only thing that keeps me going. I don't get too involved in the political realm of things. It's not my job. I was sent here with a specific mission, and that's what I do. And working with the medics, it's really good. You just feed off each other. There's, like you said, there's really no rank. I mean, there is a rank structure, but the air crew is, as you know, two pilots, a medic, and a crew chief. That's the crew of the aircraft. I am considered a PAX person, which is a passenger, and as such, I don't have any crew duties with the aircraft. So basically, I'm at the direction of them, and the medic is the person that's primarily responsible for that patient. They're considered the medical officer on the aircraft. So if there was ever any clinical decision that had to be made, the medic would be the one that would be ultimately be responsible for the patient. So, but we don't. I mean, as you've seen, we don't. There's really no. There hasn't been, and I suspect that there never will be any clinical difference that the medic and I would approach a patient with. It's pretty much we have protocols that we follow. We follow the standard practice guidelines for treating patients, and there hasn't been any problem with that.
For someone that doesn't have any crew duties, you're about the busiest person I've ever seen. I mean, I've watched you in action, and you guys just basically, for lack of a better term, attack right onto the patient and get straight to work, even before the doors are even closed. We go into situations, or POIs as they're called, points of injury. You never know what awaits you when the doors open up. You just see all kinds of things. Does that ever enter into your mind as the job is being done?
I would say no. Some of the injuries that we've seen out here are very horrific injuries. But you have to get past that horrific injury and get on to like I said, the protocols and the standard practice guidelines. We have learned to, because of, basically military medicine and dealing with these wars, the trauma that we've seen, we've kind of revised the approach to treatment in some respects. We manage hemorrhage first. It used to always be airway first, airway, breathing, circulation. Now we treat, the circulation first. Look for any gross bleeding, make sure that that's treated, and then we go on to airway. So, in some respects, this military medicine has pushed the envelope as far as clinical practice for the civilians as well. And as far as, what to expect, that is one aspect of, and you've seen this as well, is you never know what you're going to get. The 9-line drops, you might think you're going to pick up, a broken ankle or something, and you get there and it's a traumatic amputation, multiple patients. You just never know what you're going to get. You hope you get an accurate 9-line so you can start preparing for what you're going to have. But when those doors open, anything is possible. So you have to just be ready to tackle that.
All right. End of part one.